Good morning. How is everybody? One announcement. There are three flats of cherry tomatoes out there, and they need to disappear. So please help yourself and get what you want. Hope he was listening to that first scripture reading. I was supposed to say something else. What was it? I didn't write it down. I'm in trouble. Anyway, hope he's listening to that first scripture reading. It's about the birth of Jesus. Angels appeared. He was born on a night like any other night. Just like last night, tonight, the night before. The shepherds were out there in the flock, watching over them. I don't know what time it was, but it was dark. And it talks about his mother gave birth to him. Laid him in a manger. And then this bright individual appeared out of the sky to these shepherds out here. I don't know if they were kin or not, but anyways. And the shepherds are scared to death. Where'd he come from? The angel says, don't be afraid. I am bringing you great news. I am bringing you the best thing that could ever happen to mankind. And before he could even finish that statement, more angels fall out of the sky. And it says, they're praising God for what has just happened. And they're saying, peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Now, the paper back in 1974, the first Thursday in November, read, Jeff and Mr. and Mrs. Jeff Shepherd announced the birth of their firstborn son. That was a good time. Oh, you've had that. Put it in the paper. He weighed 9 pounds, 7 ounces, 20 and a half inches long, came at 7:46 a.m. And the next time I went to work, I passed out cigars. It's a boy! It's a boy! They don't do that now, I was told, but it's a boy. I think I even smoked one of them, and it made me about half sick for 2 hours. Anyway, that's a different story. I don't recommend it. But that was good news for my family. You've had that good news. But there wasn't any angels fall out of the sky and rejoice about it. Now, they may have done it when Herman was born, but that's a different story. They didn't do it when I was born. They didn't do it when my kids were born. This was something fantastic. It was. All right. Enough of that. But behold the baby that was born at this time. Okay, Dustin, you're going to give us a scripture reading.
It's a scripture reading. It's coming from Luke 2, and it's 41 through 51. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintance. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all the things in her heart.
Okay. Anybody here 12 years old? Stand up, please. Isn't that 12? It's 12, not act like 12. Okay, anybody 13?
All right, 13.
We got a 13-year-old.
Would you want to be away from your parents in a strange city for 3 days?
No.
All right, but they went to this, to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And they, I don't know how long this lasted. A week, Herman? They stayed the full time there. And they getting ready to go back home. And I can hear Mary say, "Now, Jesus, you got everything packed? We're leaving in the morning." "Yes, Mom." "Don't be late. We're leaving out at sunup." "Yes, Mom. I'm ready." Caravan leaves. I don't know how many's in the caravan. They leave out and they go about a day's journey. I don't know what a day's journey is, but 8, 12, 15 miles, I think would be reasonable. Sound right, Irma? Something like that. And Mary looks over at Joseph and says, "You see Jesus?" "No." "He's probably back there. He's probably playing with John the Baptist. He was a cousin. Oh, he's back in there somewhere. He'll be all right." Well, they go on and they finally set up camp, and Joseph says, "I'm going to go find him. He should have been up there eating with us." He goes back and he looks for Jesus. He comes back. "Mary, I can't find him." Now, Terry looked at my notes this morning, and she about had a cow. She said, "Well, if that was my kid, I'd be throwing a fit." So was they. They looked and looked for that boy, and they could not find him. So they finally said, "We got to go back to Jerusalem." And you know, if it was a day's journey out there, I'll bet you they got back a lot quicker than a day's journey going back. They hopped the quickest horse they could find, and they took off or mule or whatever they had. They searched, and they searched, and they finally found him. In a strange city, this boy was in the temple. Can you imagine your kid being lost in Kansas City for 3 days and not knowing where he's at? I shudder to think what could happen. And I imagine they were shuddering too. But they found him in the temple with the teachers and the scribes. And he's just not sitting there. He's participating, questioning them, and talking to them. Mary goes up to him and says, "Jesus, what in the world are you doing? We were scared to death. We didn't know where you was. You was not under our protection." "Mom, you know I've got to be about my father's business." Mary didn't quite comprehend what he said. She didn't get it. But, and teenagers, I want you to understand, this is a hard verse for you guys, and I get this. But Jesus went home with them, and it says he stayed in subjection to them. He stayed in subjection. Make no mistake, Jesus at this time could have done any miracle that he did later, but he stayed in subjection to his parents. And parents with teenagers, and teenagers with parents, that's a hard one to do. It is. Okay. Behold the boy in the temple. Okay, I'm going to read Mark 1, 9 through 11. "And it came about in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, 'Thou art my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased.'" It was a cold day in January in, let me think, 61, second Sunday. I don't remember the date that I was baptized. that water was very cold. We didn't have a heater. Brother Hall baptized me. And I was full of the Spirit. I'm sure if you've been baptized, you know what I'm talking about. You felt Him enter. He came to you. That or I just shivered. I'm not sure which. But when I was baptized, the heavens did not open up and a voice did not say, "This is my son. I am his son." But a voice didn't say it. And he not only said, "That's my son, I'm well pleased." The other day when Peter gave the speech and Mark was up there saying, "That's my boy." That's what God was saying. "That's my boy. I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him. He did what I wanted. I'm so proud of him." Okay, next scripture reading. Mark.
Scripture reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat as he was. Other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
You ever been dog tired? So tired you can't hardly wiggle? I have here lately. Let me tell you, she's worried me to death, but we won't go there. When you get home and you drop, because you can't do anything else. Jesus was that tired. He said, "Look, boys, let's go to the other side of the lake. I need a nap." He gets in the boat and he gets in the, I think it was the stern, has the cushion there, and he goes to sleep. I'm a pretty sound sleeper. But the storm kicks up, and this boat's rocking, the waves are coming over the side, the disciples are scared to death. Good grief, what are we going to do? "Peter, for goodness sakes, go wake him up." I don't know if it's Peter, but he's the one I thought of. They go wake him up and say, "Jesus, we're about to drown here. Don't you care?" Jesus opens his eyes, gets a grasp of what's going on. He gets up and he says, "Hush, be still." I can yell at my dog and it don't even pay that kind of attention to me. That lasted. "Lily, come here." Sister looks at you. "Lily, get in the house." Takes off the other direction. Now, if my wife yells at me, that's a different story. I can't go do it. Peace. Be still. Do you think he yelled it? No. Do you think he said it twice? No. He said it once. And he meant it. Peace. Be still. And the lake, flat as a pancake. And they was at the other side. Pretty cool. And those disciples that was scared before during the storm, they were really scared now. Who in the world is this that can speak to the storm? Speaking of storms, we had a dandy the other night, didn't we, folks? 9.5 inches up there. Peace. Be still. And he quit. I could have went out there and yelled my head off and I'd been wet. That's all I'd have got out of it. But they're really scared now. Who is this guy?
that can do this.
Okay. Peter, your scripture reading, please.
Luke 7:11-17. And it came about soon afterwards that he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large multitude. Now as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And then the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her, and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report concerned him and went all over Judea and in all the surrounding districts.
Okay, so far we have beheld the baby. We have beheld the boy in the temple. And I forgot to mention this. We have beheld the man with power over the storm. And now look what he's up to. Two large groups. Jesus and his group going to through the city of Nain, or country of Nain anyway.
And you know, you cannot be with Jesus and be sad. You're with the Son of God. You're with the best thing that has ever happened to humanity. And a large group's followed him. But as they approach the city, there's another large group coming out. And I don't know how far away Jesus' group was from that group. But he could tell it was a funeral. And that group was sad. They had no reason to be happy at this time. I had a man come in this week. Terry and I have been sitting up at old Casey's store in Odessa. And the funeral home's right next to us. There was a young man being buried. He's 22 years old. First day on the job, his tree trimmer. And the tree got him. And his parents came over after the funeral to purchase some things. And that family was distraught. When I buried my dad, I was distraught. When you buried your loved one, you was distraught. And here, this group, this funeral group, Jesus knew that that woman was burying her only son. Jesus knew she was a widow. He could see the hearts of men. And for some reason, Jesus left his group and made his way up to that group. And he goes up to the woman and he says, "Don't cry. Don't cry." If somebody had told me that when I was burying my dad, I thought immediately, who in the world are you to tell me how to feel? This is my only son. How dare you come up here? But before she could say a word, Jesus left her and went up to the coffin and touched it. Now imagine the pallbearers were wondering what in the world he's doing, and then when he touched that coffin and it wiggled and they about had a heart attack. They set that thing down. What's going on? What's going on? After Jesus touched that coffin, they set it down. And he goes up there. And he says, "Young man, arise." The dead man sat up. And they know he was dead. There was no doubt in their mind he was dead. They was taking him out to put him in the ground. There was no doubt in anybody's mind that he was dead. He sat up. He started talking.
came back to his mother. What was mother's reaction this time? It wasn't, "Who are you to tell me?" It was, "Who are you? Who are you?" And it doesn't say this, but I know she said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was going to go put my son in the ground. But I'm going to take him home on account of you. Thank you." How many times can you thank somebody and get the meaning across that they gave you back the one you love? You can't thank them enough. Anyway. What a great day that was for her. Great day for her. Behold the man with the power over death. Okay. John 19:1 reads, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged." John 19:16 reads, "So he," Pilate, "then delivered him," Jesus, "to be crucified." 15 verses later, he's having him crucified. All right, we're going to go into a Jeffinism. This is my own thoughts. You will not find in scriptures, but I base it on scripture. And here's what I'm going to base it on, three of them. Luke 2, angels rejoicing over Christ's birth. We talked about that. They rejoiced when Jesus was born. Luke 15:10, angels rejoice over one sinner who turns to God. Turn back to them. They rejoice. They have a party. Do angels only have one emotion? In my Jeffinism, no. If you can feel joy, you should be able to feel sorrow. Now, that's my Jeffinism, okay? And the other thing I'm going to base what I'm talking about here in a minute, Matthew 26:53. "Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will once at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Okay, the Jeffinism. Gabriel had just left the throne room of God after a praise session, and he's walking along the edge of heaven, and he hears a commotion going on. He looks down, and he sees the most horrifying thing he's ever seen in his life. They've got Jesus tied to a rock, and they're just beating the dickens out of him. Horrified, he runs and finds Michael, the archangel. He says, "Michael, come with me. You've got to come." "Gabriel, I ain't got time to mess with you. I've got to get the troops ready. The Father wanted an inspection this morning." "Michael, you've got to come with me." And Michael could tell in Gabriel's voice that he really needed to see this. So he goes over to the edge of heaven and said, and they see Jesus dragging a cross out to Golgotha. Michael don't know what to think. He says, "Gabriel, you tell the Father what's going on. I'm going to assemble the troops." Gabriel takes off to the throne room. Michael has his centurion sound the trumpet. Troops line up as far as you can see. The fiery horses and chariots, which are talked about in the Old Testament, lined up. They've got the people in them. They're going to go kick some human booty. They are not, let the word be said, they're not going to put up with it. Michael's got them ready. The troops are ready. Where's Gabriel?
he looks off and he sees Gabriel in the distance coming at a slow pace with his head down. What's going on? What is going on? He runs back up to Gabriel. He sees tears running down his face. Gabriel, what's the matter? We got to get this going. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him if we don't do something. Gabriel looks up at Michael and says, we're not going. What do you mean we're not going? The father said, stand fast. What? That can't be. He loves him. Stand fast. We're not going. So Michael and Gabriel go back over to that heaven. And they watch him crucify him. And they watched him die. Meanwhile, back on earth, we're not back on earth yet. He died. Jesus died. But the father wasn't happy about this. He was so disgusted with man and at his son's death that I imagine he pounded his table or desk, or maybe he just let out a sigh. But a shockwave likened unto a bomb was sent from the heavens, and it resounded on earth, and the results, a magnificent earthquake, so huge it rent the veil in the temple from top to bottom. This was not just one piece of cloth. This thing was thick, and it was torn in two. Huge boulders were split. There was darkness when there should have been light. Then the first zombie apocalypse. Tombs were opened, according to Matthew 27:52. And not only were the tombs open, the dead of the saints was out walking around. Isn't that George over there? Gosh, he's been dead for 20 years. You talk about a scary sight. God's repulsion for man's actions literally shook heaven and earth. Literally shook it. I don't know when they went back into the tombs, but they was out walking around. And only God Almighty can do that. Meanwhile, back on earth, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, watched Jesus die. Watched Joseph of Arimathea acquire the body of Jesus. Watched him take him down from the cross, wrapped him in a clean linen sheet, and put him in his tomb. Put the body of Jesus in Joseph's new tomb. And sealed it. Huge stone rolled right in front of that door. The Sabbath was near. They did not have time to prepare the body. Sabbath was observed. And on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and others got up way early before dawn, got the spices and their ointments ready. They're going to go out and finish preparing the body for burial. And I can hear Mary as they're walking out through there. Who's going to open the tomb? How are we going to get that thing open? I don't know. Maybe the gardener will get it for us.
We'll get it open somehow.
Well, they get there, and it's already opened. The tomb is opened. They run inside, they look around. There ain't no Jesus. They saw where he was laid. They watched him seal the tomb. They knew he was in there, but he's not there. And I imagine they started crying, going, why can't they leave him alone? What have they done with him? Where's he at? Suddenly, two men dressed in bright apparel, angels, appeared to the women. And it says, they were terrified. First off, where'd you come from? And are we in danger? Two women, two men, in bright apparel. They don't know where they came from. And one of them speaks and says, why do you seek the living with the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Mary looks over at Mary. Another Mary looks at Mary. He's risen. Go and tell his disciples. Tell them to go to Galilee and Jesus will meet them there. So they depart. And again, another Japanism. Wow, Jesus is alive. Mary, you stood right there with me and watched him die. You stood there and watched him as they nailed him to that cross and he took his last breath. He said, it is finished. You watched the soldier pierce his side and blood and water flowed. I wouldn't get my hopes up. Well, Jesus appears to him. He keeps his, what's the word I want to use? He didn't let them know who he was right off the bat. So they're walking along there. Hi, girls, what's going on? What do you mean, what's going on? They killed Jesus. Where have you been? They killed him. They taken him somewhere. He's not in the tomb. I don't know where he's at. Jesus makes himself known then. And they realize it's him, and what was sorrow one second turned into tremendous joy the next minute. And it says they took hold of him. They took hold of him. They're hugging on him. And Jesus says, please don't touch me. I haven't ascended to the Father yet. But don't think they wasn't glad to see him. He's alive. He's alive. He is alive. Make no mistake. The girls worshipped him and took hold of him and touched him. Behold the man that can not only raise the dead, but can raise himself from the dead. Final point. Oops, I'm running way long. Luke 24:50. They took him out. Jesus led the disciples out to Bethany. He lifted his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he did this anti-gravity thing and started floating off into the heavens. Wow. What do you think Jesus' last words were? I'm with you always to the end of the world. Love you! Or it might have been what we read in Revelation for the scripture reading. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. And I'm coming back. Get ready. I'm coming back. That's our hope. That's our hope right there. I pray you're ready to meet him. If you're not, you need to get that way. I have said all I'm going to say. If you need the help of church to
get ready for his second coming, let us know. He prayers the congregation, we can do that too. Come, I want to stand and sing.